This is Adultery Never Pays. Let's talk a little bit about oil and some of the current news that's happening here. Been a big hoodoo about oil drilling and all this sort of thing. And the Gang of Ten really end up being acting like enemies to keep us from drilling, because hardly anybody knows, but it was picked up on a radio program. What was that? Rush Limbaugh's program, that the ban against ANWR drilling ends in 4 months. So the evil Gang of Ten has decided they're gonna put forth a bill which renews the ban in ANWR and so forth. And so what we're seeing is a power-hungry bunch of men that are deluded, thinking that they are senators and thinking that they are representatives, and they are actually fulfilling the will of the enemy. So whether it's intentional or unintentional, we don't know, because we can't judge their hearts, but we can judge their fruits and see what they do. So we'll have to see where it goes. But just a couple of things about oil that's interesting. Number one, let's come back here to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Let's see what God says here about wealth. Now, as we're turning back there, let's ask a question. Did God create everything that there is? Okay. Everybody agrees God created everything that there is. Did he create gold and silver and precious stones? Do they have to be worked and smelted and formed? Yes. Okay. Did he create oil? Well, if he didn't create oil, why is it there? Now, another myth about oil. It's from dinosaurs. Not true. You never find any oil where dinosaur fossils are. The only dinosaur fossils and other fossils you find are at the La Brea tar pits. And they fall into it, get stuck in the tar, and can't get out. But wherever you find the dinosaurs, you don't find any oil. You don't find any remnants of oil. It did not come from dinosaurs. Now, we know that coal came from compressed vegetation. We can see that. Oil is actually made and generated in the earth by the heat of the core of the earth. And oil wells do replenish themselves with oil, some more than others. Okay. So oil is something that God created. Now let's come here to Deuteronomy 8. Let's read something here. Let's pick it up here in verse 7. For the Lord your God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in whose, let's see, the depths, okay. And verse 9, eat bread without scarceness, you shall not lack anything in it. It is a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you may dig copper. Okay, that means we can dig any other kind of metal out of there too. Aluminum, copper, iron, what are some of the other metals that they have? Gold, silver, magnesium, uranium. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, it's not the oil that is evil. God created it. You can use it. Any more than gold and silver is evil. God created it. It's how you use it. And he did not create food, because it's more expensive to make ethanol than it is to drill for oil. And you take away from food. So people are going to have to rethink a lot of things, because they've believed a lot of the green lies. That we don't need oil. you know, like one of the leading candidates for the Democrat Party says, we need to get over the age of oil. Well, stop and think, what was it like before the age of oil? Yes. So if you get over the age of oil, and remember the wind doesn't blow all the time, so you need to remember that. So, you know, some of those alternative sources may produce some, but they are very expensive to produce it. So it's how you use it. It's what you use. Comet was made. Oil is organic. And there are a lot of products you can make from it. However, you have to be careful how you make them, because you can also make them toxic too. So it depends on what you're doing. But there are many things that can be derived from it. All your plastics. Some plastics are okay. Some are not. So it depends on what you're doing. And also the synthetic leathers and vinyls and your computers, you know, it's kind of like the cutting your nose off to despite your face. If you say, well, we're not going to use any oil, don't drill, don't drill, don't drill. See, so either we are completely ignorant, totally blinded, or the leaders are just incredibly serving another master, which is entirely possible. So there are many factors involved. You can't say any one factor is the only thing that is involved. So we'll just have to see how all of this plays out, but it's very interesting that oil went down to below $115, and it's like we were discussing earlier, it's not a matter of supply and demand, though they say supply and demand, the supply and demand hasn't changed one bit since the price went up or going down. It really has to do with the major banks and investment houses and the billion super rich billionaires needing to make money off of their billions. So they drive prices up and make money. They drive prices down and make money, and so forth. Just to give you an example on these toxic loans. The Federal Reserve is buying them up at 15 cents on a dollar, and when the house is sold, after it's been processed through foreclosure and everything, it generally sells for about 50 cents on the dollar, so the Federal Reserve is going to make 35% on those loans. Actually, they'll make more than that, because if they buy them for 15 cents, they're going to get 225% back on their investment, because they will have 35 cents versus 15. 15 times 2 is 30, and then got 5 left over, so that's 200 and about 20% that they're making on it. And so out of it all, the Federal Reserve may end up being one of the richest banks in the world, because the Europeans and the billionaires couldn't break us with the run that they had on us here in the last few months. They came close. Now Europe is going to have to face its own problems. Anyway, see, there's going to be offshore drilling whether they like it or not, because the laws that they have passed in America do not apply to China. So if China wants to come over here and drill 100 miles off our coast, then they will do it. So, you know, there are a lot of things involved, but the heart and core of the whole problem, as we're going to see here in a bit, is not a matter of price. It's not a matter of market. It's not a matter of any of those things. Same way with politics. We'll get to it here in just a little bit. I want to cover something else first. And the answer is this. You've heard me say it many times, but it's true. You cannot solve spiritual problems with political, and we'll add economic means. Okay? Both. You can't solve them. See, poverty problems are more the problems of breaking the laws of God than they are anything else. That's why all the money thrown at the poverty won't change. Same way with the politics. Now, we had presidential candidate, finally have to admit, and I think it's very ironic, that the modern so-called, as Rush likes to call them, drive-by media. He calls them drive-by media because they drive by the real stories and invent their own now. They don't report the news. And they have completely ignored the whole problem concerning John Edwards. And so the hated National Enquirer actually has more truth in what they say than the so-called media who's supposed to bring us the news. Okay. And they've got him dead to right on everything. Yeah, they're counting little discussion going on here, and they're counting on the forgetfulness of people, so they announce bad news on Friday before major events so that it's all through the news cycle by time you come to the next major news cycle. And I think the National Enquirer knows that. So they're saving other things for later that they're going to bring out. Because it's not over yet. But you see, it shows even the apology sounds hollow, because it shows the selfish, and to use a word that John Edwards used of himself, narcissistic, meaning so self-centered you think of nothing but yourself, and nobody else in the world counts, only what you do, what you think, and how you act and function and so forth, that he had no concern at all for his family, for his wife, and for the people who supported him. So this thing is going to be a big, tangled web. Now, you know this. If it would have been a Republican, they could have released it on a Friday, but it would never die. Thought it was the two ironies. 2007, he was awarded Father of the Year when he was still involved in this. And the other one is he kept talking about two Americas, and as someone made the comment, that's because there were two John Edwards. But there is a scripture which says, be sure your sins will find you out. Always happens. Well, there were some good comments made. Do you think that, as my wife Dolores said, that I would forgive you? No. Not in that. Now you stop and think, what tore down one of the major factors which tore down one of the leading churches of God? The very same thing. And it happens over and over and over and over and over again. What happened to King David? He was going along fine, and he got carried away, and Bathsheba got carried away. Women like to blame the men, but both of them knew what they were doing. So, anyway, there's no way you can sin and get away with it, because God knows everything that there is that goes on. He knows everything that everyone does and so forth. And so, there's some, here, let's come here to Exodus 20. I'll just bring up something that someone misunderstood when I said about the Ten Commandments. I said, five of them are toward God and five are toward neighbor. Mostly you hear four are toward God and six are toward neighbor. Not correct. The first four are directly related to God. Have no other gods, no idols, no statues. Don't take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now that's directly related to God and people. The others, directly related to God in what they do, but the Sabbath is related in such a way that if you keep the Sabbath, God's presence will be there with you, provided you're obedient. Okay. Then the other one here, where it says, verse 12, honor your father and mother so that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Okay. Now, that is directly related to God. Number one, parents are to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They represent God to the children because God created them through the union of father and mother. So parents are to children as God until they become accountable for their actions. And Proverbs says, even a child is known by his doing. So that will vary. It's not an absolute age limit. It's at a maturity level more than anything else. So the fifth commandment is not toward your neighbor because your father and mother are not your neighbors. They are your flesh and blood. And so are your children. See? Now then, shall not murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, shall not covet. All those relate, those five relate directly to people who are your neighbors, although it can include inner family things if you kill family members or commit incest or if you lie and covet and all this sort of thing. So the political problems, you stop and think about it next time you watch the news. Ask yourself, what are the spiritual problems underlying the political problems? And then you think about the spiritual problems, and then you ask the question, how far in degree have they removed from God? Then you can understand it even more. Let's look at a few proverbs here concerning adultery. Come to Proverbs chapter 5. Now there's a lot in here concerning women. And I think that women may in some ways feel picked upon when they read the Proverbs. But you see, the truth is, women are the key, as I've said before, of morality. God designed it that way. That's why we have, as we've covered recently, Leviticus 19:29, don't prostitute your daughter, lest the land becomes filled with violence. But I think if you understand that the women's lib movement today is not a matter of equal voting rights or equal inheritance rights, it's a matter of that they want all of the men's rights and all of the women's rights, and the men get nothing. That's virtually where it has come to in most cases. Now, in some cases, no. But here's what we need to understand. When a woman gives herself over to seducing, she does something to her mind that when it's repeated, she is not able to have, or very difficult to recapture, normal affections after that. And this is what happens when women start getting into it and get obsessed sexually in going after men. And men, God designed, visually, whatever they see gets them excited. That's just the way that we'll read some scriptures concerning that here in just a minute. And so this is why God put the morality on the women, but also gave so many warnings to men about seductive women. Because there are women who prowl around to seduce men for the very thing that we're reading about in the paper today. So here, let's read Proverbs 5, page 775. My son, attend to my wisdom, bow your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. Now, I seem to recall there's only, and I'm sure there were some others at other times, but there was only one time where a man refused a woman seducing him. Remember who that was?
Joseph.
Verse 3. For the lips of a wanton woman drip as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is as bitter as wormwood, and sharp as a two-edged sword. Is that not what we see going on? And in every case of adultery and things like this, but when a high-profile person does it, it really brings out how many people you really hurt. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on the grave. She does not ponder the path of life, her ways are unstable, you cannot know them. Now therefore hear me, you children, do not depart from the words of my mouth, remove your ways far from her, and do not come near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with your wealth, and your labors be in the house of a stranger. And you moan when your end comes, when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. And I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to those who taught me. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of your own cisterns, and let running waters out of your own well. Let your fountains be dispersed abroad as the rivers of water in the street. Let them be only your own and not strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth, even when she gets old. Because that's what happens to too many men. When their wives get old and they aren't what they were when they were married, then they're easily seduced. And how many men make the mistake of doing that? Look at the whole case of, Nicole Smith? Nicole Smith, what did she do? She married an 89-year-old man. Destroyed everybody. Took a lot of his money. She died of a drug overdose. Her son died of a drug overdose. Verse 19. Let her be as the loving deer and the pleasant doe, and let her breast satisfy you at all times and be ravaged always with her love. That's how God designed it. That's the way that it is. Anything different than that is sin, which leads to corruption and problems and various other things. I know I got a call here the other day. Some woman was calling for, I don't know if it was her daughter or someone else, a teenage girl just contracted a venereal disease. STD, they call it today. That shows you my age. And I said, well, has she repented? No. I said, well, I can't possibly send an anointed cloth unless she repents. And repentance is going to have to mean this. You're going to have to give up all your current friends because they're the ones who are influencing you. You're going to have to get rid of your cell phone. You're going to have to get rid of the way you dress and dress decently. You're going to have to get rid of all the music, which is blasted your mind into oblivion that you would get involved in this. And if you do that, then, and you truly repent, then I'll send an anointed cloth. Not until, because you cannot have forgiveness and healing while you're still living in sin. Won't happen. No. You have to understand that they're nurtured on sexism from day one. And the worst purveyor of sexism and perversion today for young people, there are actually two. One, Walt Disney, when they're very young, gets them all involved in that, in witchcraft and so forth. Number two, MTV. They are selling witchcraft kits today on WaltDisney.com. Yeah, you can even go to Costco and buy a book, How to Cast a Spell. That's why the book, Occult Holidays and God's Holy Days, which is going to end up being one of the most important books that we have produced aside from the Bible, because it nails every one of these things completely in depth. You see, because the nation is so far removed from what is right, and the parents are also going along with a lot of these things. and in many cases, helping teach their children. Okay, let's read on. Verse 20. For why will you, my son, be ravaged with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Because something has to happen in the mind for a person to turn his or her back on husband or wife and get involved with another man or woman, and they know that it's wrong. All of them know that it's wrong. You watch MSNBC and see how they entrap some of these pedophiles who are searching for young men and women on the internet. And every single one of them, when they're entrapped, say, well, I know it's wrong. Well, this is my first time. Well, why are you carrying a dozen condoms? You watch MSNBC sometime on the entrapment of pedophiles. And then if you want to know what happens to the criminal mind, watch it further on the weekends when they show all of the prisons and all of those who are in there for life and their attitudes and things. They have to go through the prisons and they have to search for weapons of every kind because those minds are criminal and satanic. Now, in the lower level jails, there's some hope for them. But those who are in there for life for crimes, heinous crimes, God says, you execute them. In a carnal land, in a carnal government, the ministration of death, execute them. Because they will even take paper from a Bible, a phone book, a catalog, and they will roll it up and make it tight, put water on it, let it get hard, wrap string around it, wrap some more string around it, and then do that a couple of times, and they will end up with a baton that's about, 2 inches thick, because it showed it right on the program. And you can take that, and it's like a wooden baton. Bam! They attack the guards and everything like that. And besides, the most cruel and unusual punishment is life imprisonment. See, so that's the way it goes here, okay? Now, verse 21. Everyone needs to pay heed. Not just those in the church, but everybody in the world, because God knows everybody in the world, because if a sparrow falls and God knows about it, don't you think he knows about all these things that are going on as well? Of course. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all their paths. Because he set before us life and death, good and evil. And we have to make the choice. And every time someone commits adultery, it is a choice. You choose to go with the woman or man. You choose to be alone with them. You choose to get involved sexually. You choose to lie and to time on your wife and husband. It's no simple thing. And, you know, when you have a whole political party dedicated to sin and adultery, now some people are not going to like me saying that, but we have one just like that. They're called Democrats. And don't tell me how many believe in God, because if any believed in God, then they wouldn't be involved in any of those things or belong to that. Don't, and by saying that, I'm not saying that the Republicans are angels either. But there are degrees of evil. And in case you hadn't heard, Obama believes that the right of abortion of a woman is so absolute that if the baby is born alive, she has the right to kill it. You see, now, if he is the best one running for office, and I know I mentioned on one sermon that Obama's an airhead, and I got a nasty letter from a woman, just wait. He's proving he is right now. Please understand, I'm not campaigning for or against anyone. I'm looking at their actions, their behaviors, and their fruits, and I'm looking at the Bible to see what the Bible says for instructions for us. See, and why every one of us need to understand why God has called us, because we are going to rule in the kingdom of God, and we need to understand how human nature is. Plus, we've had enough sins and problems within the church because of sinful, lackadaisical ministers. I don't know if I'll get to government in the church number 8 today or not. And the churches in this world have all but given up on the Word of God now, so we are really in a dire situation as far as a nation and personal morality and all of the things that are going on. Like I said, the problems with the nation are not political, they are not social, they are not economic, though those are problems, they are spiritual. Because God said that if we would love Him and obey Him, we would not have these problems, or if we had them, they would be in such small degree and able to be taken care of in a short while that God would bless us. So that's where we are in it. There are just a lot of things. Now, those things need to be said. And there is still freedom of speech. So anyway, let's go on. Next page over. Just turn the page. Verse 16. Let's start here because this talks about the whole political situation. See, the politics of the nation reflect the morality of the people. Need to remember that. And also remember this, lest someone think that, you know, this nation is great because of our founders. No, this nation is great because of the blessing that God gave to Abraham, see. And the founders were men who followed the Bible very closely. But they were Protestants. Some of them independent Protestants. And also, we need to understand that the Constitution of the United States, as much as it is praised by people, and it has concepts that are based on the Bible, it can never replace the Bible. Need to understand that. Okay. Now, verse 16. These six things the Lord says, yea, seven things are an abomination unto his soul. A proud look. Now think about who we're watching on television in this instance. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Well, that hasn't been done yet that we know of. A heart that plots wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift to running evil. Okay. Yep. See, every time you try and weave a spider web to cover your sins, the heart plots wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness will speak lies, and he who sows discord among the brethren. And isn't that true? You go back and you analyze how many problems that have been in the Church of God. It's been because of lying ministers and lying brethren and people who have followed off on false doctrines and everything, you see. Notice verse 20. Here's the solution to all of them. My son, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now you can apply that spiritually to God and the church if you think the church is the mother of us all, but the mother of us all is Jerusalem above, not the church. Bind them continually upon your heart. Why do you have to bind them continually upon your heart? Because your brain automatically lies to you. The sinful nature of human beings automatically lies. And so you will say, well, oh, and you're entrapped. Well, I can say this. Well, I can say that. Well, I can do this. Well, I can do that. Whatever. So you need to have commandments of God continually upon your heart. Now, stop and think for a minute. How long do you think there would be a church if we did not have every Sabbath to learn of God's ways. And if we did not have the Word of God so we can study it every day. Now, isn't it interesting? The more Bibles that we have, the more wicked people become. So they have greater and greater witnesses against them, right? Yes, indeed. And the Bible is here for us to learn and for us to know so we can continually do this. Now, notice, when you go, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they shall talk with you, called your conscience. Now, what does verse 22 tell us? The commandments of God are a 24-hour lifelong thing, right? Yes. Not just when it's convenient, not just when it's to an advantage. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. So you see where you're going. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So we all need to be corrected. I need to be corrected. Let me tell you the easiest correction to come. You read the Word of God and it strikes your conscience into your heart and mind and you repent. Number two, the second easiest way for correction is that you're about to do something you ought not do and your mind says, oh, no, don't do that. Okay? That's the next easiest. The third easiest is someone says to you, don't do that. Now then it starts getting difficult. Then authorities have to tell you, don't do this or don't do that. That's number four. Number five is you get caught. Now, beginning with number five, God is dealing with you. Either to turn you over to the hands of the authorities or whatever. Number six is God's direct intervention to correct you, like he did with David after the sin with Bathsheba. Though he forgave the sin, his life was one miserable life from that day forward, because he turned his back on God and he turned his back on truth, and he thought he could get away with murder, he could abuse his office and do contrary to the will and law of God. Now, number seven would be complete, which is unrepentant and lake of fire. Those are the means of correction. Listen, all of it, did not Paul, when you read Romans 7 about the law of sin and death and overcoming, and how that even though people have good behavior on the outside, really on the inside, there is that little compartment of evil called human nature that is always there. See, that's why you need continuous study, continuous prayer. That's why the model prayer is every day, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. We need repentance and forgiveness of sin daily. And I'll guarantee you this, that you will experience this. The longer that you live and the more that you understand God's way, you are going to come to find and understand how desperately wicked the human mind really is, your very own. I have. You will. That is all a part of the conversion and the washing of the water of the Word. See, because that evil is always there to justify yourself in doing wrong. And it's a lifelong battle to overcome. Now let's continue on here. Verse 24. To keep you from the evil woman and from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart. But isn't that what Jesus said? You look upon a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. That's the first line of defense, that you do not get involved. And let her not seduce you with her eyelids, flattering eyes. For by means of a harlot a man is vanquished to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. See, because in order to assuage the evil of the heart, they look for the new victim. Can a man take fire to his bosom? And his clothes be not burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be burned? Well, yes, if you have demon help. But then you're involved in demonism. You don't learn anything, but you go into the depths of Satanism. Let's go to the next track, please.